Two readings this morning. The first is a brief scripture reading. It comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. We were talking a moment ago about Vicki, who always asks me to read from the King James Version. Today I'm reading from the New King James Version, so I'm glad she's not here. She would have been disappointed that I almost did it. So this is from the New King James Version. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I want to share another reading with you. It's from a book by Alan Watts. And the book's called The Book. It's actually subtitled On the Taboo Against Knowing Who You Are. It was written in 1966, which explains sort of his heavy use of masculine gendered pronouns when referring to God, so my apologies ahead of time for that. But it is just, I love what he does here. He says, "God likes to play hide and seek, but because there is nothing outside of God, he has no one but himself to play with. But he gets over this difficulty by pretending that he is not himself. This is his way of hiding from himself. He pretends that he is you and I, and all the people in the world, and all the animals, plants, all the rocks, all the stars. And in this way, he has strange and wonderful adventures, some of which are terrible and frightening, but these are just like bad dreams. But when he wakes up, they will disappear. Now, when God plays hide and pretends that he is you and I, he does it so well that it takes him a long time to remember where and how he hid himself. But that's the whole fun of it. Just what he wanted to do. He doesn't want to find himself too quickly. For that would spoil the game. That's why it is so difficult for you and me to find out that we are God in disguise, pretending not to be himself. But when the game has gone on long enough, all of us will wake up, stop pretending, and remember that we are all one single self. The God who is all that there is and who lives forever and ever. Thank you. This morning is entitled The Divine Ocean. So by now, Carl Sagan's Stardust and Star Stuff have nearly become a cliche. But that does not make the reality behind those words any less profound or magical. The iron in our blood, the calcium in our bones, the oxygen that we breathe are the physical remains, the ashes, if you will, of stars that lived and died long ago. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We all are made of star stuff. Or as Carl Sagan once put it, the cosmos is within us. We are made of star stuff. We are the way to the universe to know itself. It turns out, though, that Carl Sagan's poetic and well-known statement from his book, The Cosmic Connection, An Extraterrestrial Perspective, written in 1973, is a well-known statement that we are all made of star stuff that was later shared with a larger audience in the 1980s in the television series Cosmos. Turns out, it wasn't the first time that thought was actually shared with the public. Believe it or not, 3 years prior to his book, in her song entitled Woodstock, Joni Mitchell penned the line, "We are stardust, billion-year-old carbon." But I've actually discovered that even Joni wasn't the first to think about that. Both she and Carl were predated by Albert Durant Watson in 1918. And not only that, Watson's use of it was a bit more spiritually suggestive. At the time, he was the president of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. And while delivering a speech, he said, "It is true that a first thoughtful glimpse of the immeasurable universe is liable rather to discourage us with a sense of our own insignificance. But astronomy is wholesome, even in this, and helps to clear the way to a realization that as our bodies are an integral part of the great physical universe, so through them are manifested laws and forces that take rank with the highest manifestation of the cosmic being. Thus, we come to see that if our bodies are made of star stuff, and there is nothing else, so says the spectroscope, to make them of the loftier qualities of our being are just as necessarily constituents of that universal substance out of which we are made, whatever gods there may be. We are made of universal and divine ingredients. And the study of the stars will not let us escape a wholesome and final knowledge of that fact." It's kind of beautiful for a speech being given at the Astronomical Society's annual convention. It actually reminds me of the concept of namaste. And a concept that namaste itself reminds me of. Namaste, the divine in me honors the divine in you. In my way of seeing it, namaste includes the understanding that we are all one. It highlights the reality that beneath the outward appearances that seem to make us different from others, inwardly, we are made of the same star stuff, and that stuff is of the divine. Think of humanity as an ocean, and each person a wave. Each wave is different, but equally wet, equally made of ocean. Wetness is to the ocean as God is to humanity. We are each a unique part of the whole, yet decidedly part of the whole. We are made of the same stuff. We're not only made of the same stuff, but we reside in the same stuff. We exist in an ocean of electromagnetic energy. It sort of connects us. We all reside in this. We move around into different spaces, but we are always part of that ocean. Some of us are cracking against rocks. Some of us are rusty. Some of us are just gently rolling into the shore. But like the sea, there is a vast expanse of calmness for us to discover during our journeys. But it is essential that we do not forget that we are one ocean of energy, rising and falling with the peaks and valleys of all the waves. Do not think that we are not connected. Even when this physical body dies, like water evaporation from the ocean, it all returns as rain. After all, energy can't be destroyed, and in some way, our part of the energy ocean that is God will rejoin the ocean and continue on. You see, in each of us resides the divine. Not separate and different parts of the divine. Instead, we are all part of the same divine, the same oneness. We are all part of the ocean that is God. We are all dripping wet with it. A conversation between a young man and his guru was once overheard. The student proudly stated, "The purpose of religion is to find God." And his teacher responded, "Not quite. The purpose of religion is to find ourselves, within which we shall find God." Or as Rumi once said, "I looked in the temples, churches, and mosques, but I found the divine within my own heart." Look at every great religious, spiritual, and wisdom tradition, and we find the same precept. That life's ultimate truth, its ultimate treasure, lies within us. As we heard in our first reading today, Jesus was once asked when the kingdom of God would come. "The kingdom of God," Jesus replied, "is not something that people will be able to see and point to. It's here, it's there." Then he continues and says, "For indeed, the kingdom of God is within us." His teaching here is universal and absolutely timeless. Recognizing this reality, it seems to me that we'd be smart to consider, what does it mean to claim that the divine is within me? How can I recognize it in myself so that I might better acknowledge it in others? Hindus, folks who practice New Age spirituality, and others sometimes call this indwelling of God the divine self. But for them, that divine self is the self that exists even at a higher level than the soul. It is in every person ever born. It is the essence of what the universe that dwells, it is the essence of the universe that dwells within your body. The source of all light and life within you. I believe it reflects the reality of what Watson was trying to get at when he referenced the star stuff in us in order to remind us that we are all made of the universal and divine ingredients. Those who follow this belief system say that if you open yourself to your divine self, to discovering this ocean within, to connect with the oneness of the universe, the practice promises guidance, peace, harmony, and illuminating life through its higher knowledge. They believe in discovering the divine within helps you to more easily turn away from the distractions of the physical world and restore yourself to light and love. You're also said to gain a greater ability to recognize limiting, disharmonious, and restricting energies. I have to say, I really mostly agree. The trickiest, particularly for those of us who grew up in conservative or even mainline churches, is letting go of some of the things we've been taught about God. Particularly ideologies which suggest that God is separate from us and thus must be sought after and searched for. When we let go of that way of understanding God, instead of always looking for God, we end up feeling God and enjoying walking in the joy and an ineffable presence. The good news is that it produces real transformation in how you think and live and treat others in this world. We, each of us, must awaken from the dream of believing that we are separate, isolated beings. Then the dream itself takes on the qualities of openness and light and joy and peace. We see not only the divine within our own selves, but also within others. We experience the world as a place full of the divine. Heaven on earth, if you will. As Rumi says, we recognize that we are not a drop in the ocean, but that we are the entire ocean in a drop. Or a wave. We are made of the same star stuff. So, namaste, my friends. Not only do I see the divine in me, but I see the divine in you. Or at least I'm trying. Thank you. So right now on social media, there's a version of the Lord's Prayer that's making its rounds, and it claims that it is a direct translation from the Aramaic that Jesus said it in to English, instead of from Aramaic to Greek and then to English. It is a bad translation. It is maybe a transliteration, but it's a really good prayer. It's just not what they claim it to be. It's not a great word-for-word translation from the Aramaic. But I want to share that with you today, a different take on the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads together. O Birther, Father, Mother of the cosmos, you create all that moves in light. O Thou, the breathing light of all, creator of the shimmering sound that touches us, respiration of all worlds, we hear you breathing in and out in silence. Source of sound in the roar and the whisper, in the breeze and the whirlwind, we hear your name. Radiant One, you shine within us, outside us. Even darkness shines when we remember. Name of names, our small identity unravels in you. You give it back as a lesson. Wordless action, silent potency, where ears and eyes awaken, there comes heaven. Birther, Father, Mother of the cosmos. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, knowing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with your words and actions, with all those you need.
Thank you.